Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the water you revealed the holy identity of your Son. John then testified, and others heard and responded. Andrew acted and followed, and then found his brother Simon and brought him to Jesus. I ask you to pour out passion into us, so that we act as Andrew, following and seeking others to bring to you. I ask in Christ's name, please make this new life in Christ a reality that is full of passion and action, bringing others to you. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Something is happening. The people, they're flocking out there into the wilderness. Handfuls at first, then hundreds, and the number is growing who are heading out each day. Word is spreading, grabbing attention of others too, especially the religious leaders. Shall I go see? What about you? Are you going to go see? Who is it? I mean, it's a man in camel's hair, and he has long hair and a scruffy beard too, and it looks like he's been in the caves of the wilderness for months on end. You want to go see him? Why? Why go see him? What is happening that would cause you to go see him? You know, he's preaching words that just grab hold of the heart. Words calling me back to walk in the ways of the law of Moses. He's baptizing in the Jordan, calling you to repent and return to the ways of the Lord. Repent and be forgiven are the powerful preaching words that are being proclaimed in that desert wilderness. You know, could he be the Messiah? Could he be the one promised? Oh, the one promised so long ago. Did you hear that? Did you hear the names he's been calling people and denouncing people? You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Don't make the claim to be Abraham's children. Don't claim Abraham as your father. What shall we do? You who have two tunics, share with the one who has none. I'm a tax collector, teacher. I'm hated for what I do. What should I do? Don't collect any more than you're required to collect. I'm a soldier. What am I to do? Don't extort money. And don't falsely accuse. You know, be content with your wages. And the word keeps spreading. Did you hear what he said about King Herod? A king's not going to like it. King Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. He's going to get in trouble for that preaching. Go. Hear John's testimony for yourself. One will come after me whose sandals I'm unworthy to untie. I baptize with water. He'll baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Religious leaders, they're going to see him. They're going to see what he's saying and listening to him. And they start asking him questions too. And he freely confessed, I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. Who are you then? Are you Elijah? Are you a prophet? Give us an answer we can take back to Jerusalem, to the temple. I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. In the desert I cry, make straight the paths for the Lord. His actions, his words, gathered a group of followers in that wilderness. John, dressed in his camel hair and rough and scruffy and disheveled, rather wild looking and uncivilized perhaps, he gathered a group of disciples, and one of them was named Andrew. This Andrew would be part of what was to come. It happened this way. One day, John was with his disciples. John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now to us, those words don't strike the chords in the hearts as they should, as they would have back then. In those hearts around John, those words, when they were heard, were remembered. John testified, "This man was revealed in the water when baptized." And John continued that he saw the heavens open and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, come down as a dove, just as was foretold. John saw that promise fulfilled and testified to those hearing him, "I have seen and testify, this is the Son of God." The next day, again with the disciples, two in particular, John saw Jesus passing by again and said, "Look, the Lamb of God." And those words hit those two disciples in a manner that ought to strike us and hit us and grab hold of us in the heart. Those two got up and they left John, whom they had been following, to follow Jesus. Just imagine at the words, "Look, the Lamb of God." Maybe like this. "Look, the Lamb of God." Did you just hear what he said? Did you hear what he said? "Hey, let's go follow him. What do you think?" "Yeah, let's go follow him." And so the two got up, rubbing each other, patting each other. "Let's go." Not looking back. They just get up and start following. He motions in a manner, an open hand, and with that unspoken words, "You want to go? Let's go." And they followed. "Let's go. Let's follow this Lamb of God." And that's what they did. They got up and left John, who they've been following, to now follow the one John pointed to and said, "Look, the Lamb of God." That's how those words grabbed hold of them. And they should grab hold of you and I too. And did you notice John did not object to his two disciples leaving him? Rather, I'd say that John probably rejoiced as they left to follow Jesus. I base this on another occasion, as John is told that everyone is going after Jesus, following Jesus. And there John reminded that he is not the Christ, but he was sent before to prepare the way. And on that occasion, John said, "The bride belongs to the bridegroom. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater. I must become less." So when those two disciples left him, that's exactly what John's purpose was, to send them, "Look, the Lamb of God." Now, I find it very fascinating here where it says in 1 John, in John chapter 1, our gospel reading today, John said, "I would not have known him." And I find this fascinating because John's mother Elizabeth and Jesus' mother Mary were related to each other. They were kin. And Mary and Elizabeth were close to each other. For it was to Elizabeth that Mary went and stayed 3 days after the angel's announcement. The two women knew of each other's pregnancies and shared many words during those 3 months and thoughts and that time together. And with that relationship, it's very easy to say that it likely means that John and Jesus, at a minimum, were aware of each other. They're kin. And Mary Elizabeth, kin. John and Jesus are kin. And John being 6 months older, just 6 months apart, you know, very likely all of those Passover feasts we read about in the Gospels that Jesus attended growing up as a child, it says in the Gospels it was his family's yearly habit to go to Jerusalem for the Passover festivals. And all the relatives would gather there. Can you just imagine a young Jesus and a young John, the no cousins, coming together? What did you do when you came together as cousins, as young children? You certainly had a lot of fun playing. You know, it's very possible, being relatives, being nearby. And you know, John's father, he's a priest. Being in Jerusalem more than likely involved in the temple worship. Being similar age, being relatives, you know the probability of John and Jesus as young boys doing the things of young boyhood together, you know, playing and racing through the streets of Jerusalem? Could be. Matthew chapter 14 tells us about the killing of John the Baptist by King Herod. And in Matthew chapter 14, it also tells us Jesus' reaction. Matthew chapter 14, verse 13. When Jesus had heard what had happened, that is, John being killed by Herod, Jesus withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Jesus wanted to get away and he wanted to grieve. Jesus responded to John's death with great grief. Grief for his kinsmen. Grief for his friend, John the Baptist. So it's not that John did not know Jesus. Rather, in the descending of the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, that dove landing on Jesus, it opened John's understanding who Jesus truly is. This event revealed who Jesus is. That word translated there in Gospel of John chapter 1 as known in the Greek, it means to perceive. In particular, grasping a spiritual truth from what you see in the physical. So in a manner, John knew Jesus. It was his relative. It was his kin. Probably boyhood friends, very likelihood, because Mary and Elizabeth were related and friends. Yet John really did not grasp, did not perceive or know Jesus as the Son of God. It was the action of baptizing, with the heavens opening and the Holy Spirit descending as a dove, opened John's eyes to be able to see Jesus as Jesus truly is, the Son of God. And there's John's powerful testimony. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, those words don't grab hold of us as they should, as they would of a Hebrew of that time. John's words were heard in his disciples' ears, and it moved their hearts to action. And one of the two was named Andrew. Andrew and his companion, that other disciple, spent the day with this one whom John testified as the Lamb of God. Andrew and the other spent the day listening and learning and experiencing the presence of Jesus. Now, we don't know what they experienced that day with Jesus. But for speculation, you know, it'd probably be along the lines of what Jesus did as recorded in other parts of Scripture in the Gospels. Compassion shown to the least of these. Teaching with words so full of authority, different than they've ever heard before. Those words of forgiveness and new life. Perhaps a sign or two, wonders that point to Jesus as the Son of God. Just as John the Baptist testified. However that day unfolded with Jesus and the experiences they had with Jesus, with the seeing and hearing, it was enough to move Andrew into action. Andrew acted. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon. Andrew said to Simon, "We found the Messiah." That should grab hold of you real powerfully too. Then Andrew's action brought Simon to Jesus. And you know the events that unfolded from that encounter. The other Gospels add their voices. While cleaning up after fishing, Jesus would say to Simon, "Come, follow me." Jesus would say to Andrew, "Come, follow me." Jesus would say to James, "Come, follow me." And Jesus would say to James's brother, John, "Come, follow me." And to the four, Jesus said, "I will make you fishers of men." And immediately they left. They left all and followed. Andrew acted because those words of John the Baptist were words that Andrew's heart was waiting for, yearning for. Look, see, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. These words, they don't grab hold of us as they should because we're not immersed in the world of that day. We're not immersed in that ritual that's in the law of Moses with all those sacrifices for sins. We have not had to select the very best of our flock to bring to the temple for sacrifice, or select our very best lamb on the 10th day of the month as we clean the house out of all the leaven, keeping that very best lamb until the 14th day of the month, then at twilight, recalling the events of the Exodus, sacrificing the lamb for the Passover feast. We are not accustomed to the actions of Yom Kippur, that day of atonement. That day is the only day the high priest could enter the most holy place, that innermost chamber of the tabernacle, later the temple, enter into that holy of holies. The high priest would not enter dressed in the official priestly garment with all the rich ornateness of it. Rather, the high priest would enter wearing a pure white linen robe, dressed to symbolize repentance. And the high priest would bring the blood to sprinkle on the mercy seat, the atonement cover of the Ark of the Covenant. And then later on, the priest would come out and place his hands on the live goat, confessing all the transgressions, all the iniquities, all the evilness of their sins, whatever they may be. And that scapegoat was then brought out into the wilderness by the designated person and set off in the wilderness. In other words, carrying all the iniquities to the inaccessible regions, never to return. Fill your mind with all these images, and then you may begin to understand the power of the words of John the Baptist when he spoke, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." It was enough to grab Andrew and to act upon those words. "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." May those powerful words of John's testimony grab hold of you as they grabbed of Andrew. And may they bring you to the place of repentance so that you receive the forgiveness of sins that is only in Christ the Lord. Then allow the passion of the faith take hold of your heart and your soul, to take hold of your whole life, such as it did of Andrew's life, who left all to follow Jesus. And place your all in the service of Christ. It's terrifying, but it's good. Place your all in the service of Christ. I don't know if you've seen in the news, but it's making the news of this past week. It's about a soccer champion baptized by his Christian teammate. The Brazilian soccer star Roberto Firmino's, less than a month after scoring the winning goal at the World Cup, he was baptized in the Liverpool Football Club swimming pool by his teammate Alisson Becker, a Brazilian Christian musician, Isaiah Sayad. Firmino shared the video. You can see it on Instagram. You can find it on Facebook. And Firmino wrote in Portuguese, "I give you my failures, and I will give you my victories as well. My biggest title is your love, Jesus." Alisson Becker, he was named Goalkeeper of the Year for Premier League Soccer last year, and he's known for his Christian faith, expressing his Christian faith. Liverpool manager Jurgen Klopp regularly talks about his Christian faith in interviews, and he encouraged Becker to talk about his Christian faith. And Becker has said, "To be a believer, but not to want to talk about it, I do not know how it would work." Let those words sink in. To be a believer, but not want to talk about it, I don't know how it would work. In other words, he can't keep his mouth shut about Christ. And because he spoke about Christ, Firmino came to know Christ. And quoting 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Firmino wrote, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." Firmino's wife, Larissa Pereiro, shared pictures on her Instagram with the caption, "Wait on the Lord and trust. Wait, He comes. Trust, He comes and makes a miracle." And she added, "I and my family, we serve the Lord." You and your family, we serve the Lord. You can watch this video on Instagram. You can watch it on YouTube. And watching that video will bring tears to your eyes. I defy you to not cry in watching the video, because it's the power of a redeemed life taking place right before your eyes. The joy of his wife. Allison Becker in the background wiping his eyes because the tears of joy. That's the power of going and telling another. Andrew acted, brought Simon. Simon eventually would say, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." And eventually that made it to you and I. Now, who are you speaking the words of life of Christ into? Whose life are you leading to the Lord Jesus Christ? A brother, a family member, or an acquaintance at work, or acquaintance at school? How can you not talk about Christ and all Christ has done? Go and share the message of Christ. Act like Andrew did all those years ago. Bring another to Christ. And then trust the power of the living God. And through you, yes, through you, God will redeem another life as you share Christ. We saw it in Andrew's life. You can see it in the video through Allison Becker's life and his wife and Firmino's wife. Make it real in your own life. Share Christ. Act as Andrew did. And trust the power of God. Amen. And amen.